Welcome to Pushing Forward with Alicia, a podcast that gives disability a voice. Each week, we will explore topics like confidence, ambition, resilience, and finding success against all odds. We are creating a collective community that believes that all things are possible for all people. Open hearts, clear paths, let's go. Welcome back to Pushing Forward with Alicia. I'm Alicia, and I'm so happy to have some more space and time with you today. We've got an awesome, amazing guest. His name is Michael Tennant. He's an entrepreneur, a keynote speaker, an author of The Power of Empathy, coming soon, dropping in all stores. You can let us know where we can buy this amazing book on October 24th and beyond into the stars. He's a creator of Actually Curious, the empathy conversation game. I want you to dive into this creation and this product that I believe you're selling all over the place now, Nordstrom's and all kinds of stores, Michael. His work has been featured by the New York Times, Oprah, the Today Show, for his teachings in fostering empathy and having a thriving ecosystem of advocacy for diversity, mental health, we love that, and well-being through his products, content, workshops, and technology. Thank you so much for taking some time, Michael. I am inspired by you daily when I see your content coming out and by our friendship. So thank you so much for sharing all of your goodness with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. And same here. I feel like you set the bar with the wonderful work that you're doing. And I'm so grateful to be in that kind of energy exchange with you.
Yes. Energy exchange. We're going to definitely talk about that because from the moment you and I met, I feel like we've been having a very organic energy exchange. We come from different backgrounds, but I think we're advocating for a lot of the same things. And we both lead with intention and with our hearts. So I'm really, really excited to dive into that. I think before we do, like, can you share a little bit about who you are? What's your background? What are your intersections? What is your identity? What drove you to do this powerful work that you're doing today?
Yeah. Well, Michael Tennant, I go by he, him pronouns. I am originally from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York. And my parents are Jamaican immigrants, so I'm a first-generation American. I grew up in a lower middle-class background in Brooklyn, but I've been fortunate that, you know, I've been blessed with some intellect and some skills that I've been able to use to get some great opportunities to study, study in different communities that have more resources than I grew up with. And I've just been really grateful to bring that background of needing to figure out how to morph into other communities more resource than my own. I've been able to bring the learnings from a lifetime of that into spreading empathy and into a willingness to get uncomfortable in order to get to progress.
I love that. It's like being uncomfortable is kind of required of us. So you brought up the word empathy, right? Like this is what your book is about. Your platform is, it's all over your platform. It's embedded in the work that you're doing. You want to talk to us a little bit about why empathy?
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned the conversation game Actually Curious. And Actually Curious was originally created to gamify building trust and getting people more confident, discussing, having intentional conversation, and ultimately getting people willing to lower their ego so they could see the other person's perspective. And we got into this whole world of product development leading into the midterm elections of 2018, looking at our country, looking at how divided it was becoming even then, and wanting to not just be a part of the chorus of people talking about the issues, but not actually using their skill sets, their creativity to try to make progress. In this case, you know, I think a lot of people talk about divisiveness, but are perfectly comfortable staying in their bubbles, in their echo chambers. And we wanted to disrupt that a bit. Now, why I have gotten and committed my life to empathy, because at that point, this was just a thought leadership project. But in 2019, I suffered, my family and I suffered, we and my brother's friends and children, we suffered the loss of two of my older brothers, two of my siblings in separate occasions. And like, I can actually feel the clenching in my abdomen right now, just like when I learned that news for the first time. And at that time, I wasn't this thought leader in empathy and wellness and DEI. I was a marketer just in New York City trying to, you know, with values and trying to play with how to bring that more squarely into my life, but also addicted to material things, addicted to climbing the corporate ladder, addicted to substances, addicted to dating and getting the affirmation, getting affirmation from that. And so the reason I ended up so deep in empathy is I realized I didn't know how to be with difficult emotions. When I needed them to heal, I had to almost learn from scratch, you know, finally all like therapy and group therapy and all mindfulness, which were just abstract ideas. They finally came together and were like, oh, these are your tools for being able to be with these difficult emotions, whether they be something as severe as a death or even just being in a difficult conversation. So, you know, at the risk of being a bit long-winded, I want to just connect that fast forward after the summer of 2019 and into 2020 when the pandemic hit, and then later on that summer when the racial uprising happened, I'd gone pretty decently along on my healing and having positive coping mechanisms and then unpacking and wanting to bring meaning to all this pain and loss. And I realized that humans, at large, we have not been taught how to be with difficult emotions that show up. Maybe some of us, but at large, we don't know how to be with those difficult emotions. And that was the catalyst for how I connected my experience of loss into something that was going to be useful for the world.
It's giving the chills. It's so powerful. And can you talk a little bit about how that work of empathy, how you gift that to your clients?
Yeah. So yeah, it sounds like you're asking about learning and development, but you've touched on our consumer products and the conversation game, Actually Curious. You've talked about the book. The thesis that rests atop it all is that we at Curiosity Lab make empathy easy and accessible to learn and teach. So whenever we get into the creation room, we're always thinking about how hard it is to learn or how hard it is to confront emotions and having empathy for that versus scoffing at it. And then we're trying to, from that place of compassion, come up with ways that are going to be fun, going to be sticky, going to be repeatable, that you can tell it back very easily. And then it creates its own viral effect. When we do learning and development, that summer of the pandemic and the racial uprising, I ended up unpacking a model called the five phases of empathy. And it starts with increasing your emotional awareness, increasing your knowledge and confidence, speaking about your emotions and giving you this baseline tool that you can actually slow down, notice, label your emotions, and then choose consciously how you want to act or respond or speak. And so that's the foundation. And even when I get to do a 30-minute talk, or, you know, someone brings me in to facilitate a game of connection with their team, I'll usually teach that skill up front so that when we get, and Actually Curious, the way Actually Curious works is you start light and then you level up into deeper conversation. So if I can teach people like, okay, this is what it's going to look like and feel like in your body when you're leveling up into those deeper conversations, or even when you're waiting to hear this question and kind of you're giving up control, this is what it feels like. When you can slow that down and experience it in simulation and do that over and over, it's just like any other exercise. Now all of a sudden the ball comes to you and you catch it instinctively because you've been practicing catching it all the time. Now the emotion comes and you can actually slow down, see it, label it, and choose rather than getting lost in it.
So I love it. And I love the exercise of the facilitation through your cards and your game. Like, can you give our listeners an example so they can, I mean, Marty and I have sat with your cards and played with them. Like, it's such a great experience just to sit on the couch with your husband or your partner or your family and just start to engage with some of these challenging questions. Like, can you give like an example?
Yeah. Okay. So there are 5 editions of Actually Curious. There are 2 that are lighter in the icebreaker realm, called the Culture Edition and the Happy Hour Edition. There's 1 that's in the deep end, and that is the Human Rights Edition. That's the black deck, and that is 52 questions that get you discussing all your blind spots, right? And in a way, and we'll see, maybe we can go there. In a way, I had noticed some of my own blind spots coming up, and I felt the safety to explore my blind spots around ability with you and Marty. Yes. And because I've done all of that work to say, hey, don't run away from that feeling. I even feel it in my heart now, bringing it up. I got to step in forward, and that unlocked this beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
So how about we start in the lightest level of the Human Rights Edition, of the Curiosity Edition. And that's the blue level. And just to make it fun, Your listeners can't see this, but I'm going to kind of scan across this deck and you're going to tell me to stop and I'll pull a question. Ready? So starting now.
Stop.
Okay. So we just scanned through the blue level, which is the lightest level in this deck. You have to do a blue level question in order to unlock green. So after this, we would be able to go up into the green level, but we wouldn't be able to touch the yellow and pink levels yet until we've stretch the container. So the question we have here in blue is, when do you feel most secure?
Good question.
You know, for me, I know that actually playing games like Actually Curious was really difficult for me, or being asked these introspective questions like, when do you feel most secure, would actually get me upset. Like, why are you getting so personal with me? This is like 4 years ago. But now, after having the reps of doing it by myself, like you said, introspective, doing it in groups, feeling that discomfort, realizing afterwards, like, oh, that wasn't so bad. It was way worse in my head than it was afterwards.
Yeah.
So I feel secure. I feel secure when I have more practice and I have a heads up of what's happening.
Me too. When there's a plan in place.
Yeah.
A plan and plan for that place. And I feel most secure sometimes too, when I'm just like, and this is going to sound so stupid, but like literally when I'm just like in bed with my husband and he's just like bear hugging me and I'm like hiding from everything else in my life. You know what I mean? Like, that's when I feel the most secure. Can you give one more like example of a card that challenges?
Go up green then?
Go a little deeper.
So now that we've unlocked the green level, I'm just going to pull a couple examples so that you hear. In the green level, we've got, are diversity quotas a problem or necessity? Why? We've got, what are you willing to fight for and why? We've got, gentrification is real. How has it affected you, or how have you played a part in it? But like a yellow question, in the yellow level, it starts to get a little more esoteric, a little more personal. How do you love? How do you find fulfillment? Is there anything too serious to be joked about? And then the pink level is the most difficult in this deck. But just hopefully your listeners can get a sense, like what this does is it gives you the ability to start light, have empathy for your crew, you know, take a step back and think about what it is you're trying to achieve and pick the right question, the right deck that's gonna engender that. And then when you're ready to go further, then we got you as well.
You are listening to Pushing Forward with Alicia, and we will be right back. We talk a lot on the show about ableism and inclusion. If you wanna learn more, I invite you to listen to my TEDx talk, Disabling Ableism, the Modern Pathway to Inclusion. You can watch the whole speech on aliciaanderson.com. That's A-L-Y-C-I-A Anderson with an O.com. Click on speaking. Welcome back to Pushing Forward with Alicia. I'm Alicia. We've got an awesome, amazing guest. His name is Michael Tennant. He's an entrepreneur, a keynote speaker, an author of The Power of Empathy, coming soon. We were at this DEI summit in Memphis last year, which was a powerful place to have a diversity summit, right? Because it was where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and there's so much history in the Civil Rights Museum, and there was all these professionals in DEI at this amazing, quaint conference. And we met like on the first night, right? Like we were sipping on a little cocktail together, just making friends. And you are so genuine in your interest to learn about somebody else's perspective. And you were so genuine with Marty and I wanting to like really learn about the disabled experience in this entire like DEI experience that we were having. And it was fascinating to me because it was consistent through like the 3 days that we were there. So help me, like, where does that come from? And how do we gift that to other people? Because if we could all have a little tiny bit of that, I think we get into a much beautiful, more beautiful place in society of understanding.
Yeah.
That was long.
It's great. And I'm trying to figure out where I want to approach it. I think there are two things I want to like just cover off as almost like context setting is that both you and Marty were really warm, really open, in some ways I feel like you all maybe even made like a first step leaning forward in a way, at least in my experience of it, and in such a way that and I can't say that I know of any specific like judgment or bias or just something that came up, but I realized I had to shift and reframe myself a little bit. And I finally was put in this place where what I'm asking others to do on behalf of their privilege in and around race or in and around resources, that I was facing that. Like I had to be both a student as well as being proud to share what I knew. And I felt safe to do so. So the reason I wanted to give that specific caveat is you and I had a conversation where you talked about your positivity and your kind of your leaning toward like, hey, we can only make progress from a place of liking one another and knowing that we have the same goals. And of course, in my experience, I've gone through a lot. Your experience, you've gone through a lot. It's easy and understandable and totally not judgy at all or meriting of judgment at all if someone feels more jaded than that disposition and then brings that forward. And I've been that person. I am that person sometimes. I moved from the Northeast to Florida, and I'm trying to catch and unpack the protective judgments that I bring into like feeling like me as a liberal Black person in the South may not be welcome. And then I distance as a result. So I'm working on this on multiple levels. And so I just want to say that we both come in with enough healing, and Marty, the three of us, with enough healing done that we come in doing our individual work while the other is doing their individual work as well. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It absolutely makes sense.
100%. It's from this space of like knowing that I had bigger guards up in the past that I can even not in all instances, but, you know, that is like the training that I've needed to give myself to be fully in my conviction going into a space that might be hostile, to teach empathy. Hostile in that for various reasons, they've already got their guard up about empathy, or we get there when we've leveled up into a topic that people are like, whoa, why are you doing this to me at work? You know, and it's like, no, I'm not doing anything to you. If anything, we're just creating a container to talk about the stuff that's surrounding us anyway, that maybe we're speaking about in silos and not together, or maybe we're speaking together and then it's getting uncomfortable and we're leaving, or worse. So yeah, it's just, I think it's healing enough to be willing and able to have compassion for myself and the other person when it gets difficult.
I love that. And I feel that from you deeply. And I think that that's the human experience in this work that catapults or is a catalyst of empathy. You know, like I lean into empathy too, because I don't know what other way to have a human experience in understanding each other without leaning in with love and empathy. And so I think that we are very similar in that. And it was a powerful moment for me to not only be, I felt like in this DEI summit, like I did feel like that I was like representing disability, and I felt a little bit alone in that, you know, in this environment. But you made me feel very seen and acknowledged as an important piece of like the work that we're doing. And when we were leaving, we happened to bump into each other at the Civil Rights Museum where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And it's like, it's giving me the chills. It's one of the most powerful places that I have ever been to in my entire life. Yeah. And that is where you learn about our history, right? Our powerful history of all of it, really. And walking through, walking and rolling through this museum together, learning about his life and his advocacy and the path, the entire path from slavery to where we are today. It was powerful to experience that with you. And we're walking through, I'm getting the chills again, because we're walking through this, learning from you. And in exchange, you kept asking about us. And it was so beautiful. It was a very rare moment of the collaboration of understanding of the human experience was happening like very organically. And it was powerful for me. I will never forget it as long as I lived. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Like it was really special for me. And that's the work you're doing.
I think there's so many reasons that others in our shoes or in our wheels could feel almost jaded. And some of us adapt and we make room. And it was just, it was the first time I'd gotten to really be in the shoes of two individuals who were working with, and please correct my language because I'm learning, but I guess impaired physical abilities.
Just disabled.
Disabled.
I mean, you know, like we talk a lot of, and I'm sure you do this in your own space too. Like what's the right word? Language is important, right? And that's individual. And for me and for us, like, disability is not a bad word. Like it's okay to say it. It's like, it can be an empowering word, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, and I think what you just did was a great lesson for any of our listeners, which I get asked a lot is what's the right, tell me, like, can you help me? I'm learning. And I think that that's, and it's vice versa. You know, I'm learning from you the right words and terms and things to say or not to say. And I think that that process is, again, part of that collaboration of understanding the human, our human experience as a collective, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So if we can, I think if I can have, you know, your support and your listeners' support in understanding how very human it is to make those mistakes, but also how very human it is that we weren't taught the tools to be able to make those mistakes and not feel like our whole world is shattered, our egos have shattered because we crossed into a territory we didn't mean to. Because if we genuinely don't mean to, then we're genuinely willing to learn how to not do it. So like I said, at Curiosity Lab, our mission is to try to make these skill sets easy and accessible. I think now that your listeners know the intent behind Actually Curious, when you pick it up, it's not just a box of questions. You now know that you have a system to go from wherever you are today to a deeper place of comfort, and also to help others go from wherever they are today to a deeper place of comfort getting into these topics. You know, we do the workshops. We've had the privilege of going to places like NASA and Johns Hopkins and Viacom to teach the five phases of empathy through our workshops. But I can't be in every room, and we can't spread these tools fast enough, really. So that's why we created the book, The Power of Empathy. And essentially, that covers the five phases of empathy, but we added a sixth phase. So let's say you go through the five phases of empathy. It's a 30-day model. So you get a lesson and an exercise every day that teaches you an additional skill in empathy. But the sixth phase is for those who want to pay it forward. They want to be empathy thought leaders and experts themselves. They want to bring this into their schools and into their facilitation or therapy practices. Well, there is some residual effect at times for opening up these conversations, both for ourselves and our well-being. I mean, I found after the first kind of 9 months of every week having some sort of speaking engagement where I was teaching empathy, I found that like even my skin would be raw to the touch from not having had that kind of exposure of receiving people's stories and holding space for it. So that sixth phase in the book is really about equipping people for remaining resilient if they really choose to pay this work forward.
Where can our listeners find you, follow you? We're going to put it in the show notes, but I want to make sure that every single person is able to connect with you.
Well, you can find me on most social media, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. I'm Michael Tennant NYC on Instagram and TikTok. And The Power of Empathy is out for pre-order everywhere. It's at Target. It's at Barnes & Noble. Like, you dream it up. And if it's not there yet, please drop me a DM so I can nudge the team to get the book there as well. But I'm really excited for October 24th. And I'm excited to bring some new allies into the movement for empathy.
Congratulations, Michael. This is so cool. I'm going to put you on the spot. We have a pushing forward moment. Is there a mantra or advice or something that you can gift to our listeners that are going to inspire them or encourage them or motivate them in some way in their life?
Yeah, I would say that before achieving growth, it always feels impossible.
Thank you so much, my sweet, amazing friend, for spending some time and space with me and just being a part of my life. You're amazing. I love you. And thank you so much to our listeners for spending some more time with us today. I think this was a really beautiful conversation. And this is Pushing Forward with Alicia. And that is how we roll on this podcast. See you next time. If you're an employer who would like to learn more about disability inclusion in the workplace, lessons on ableism, and how accessibility can drive innovation in your company, please check out my micro training series at aliciaanderson.com. That's AlyciaAnderson with an O.com. Click on micro learning.